for 25 years. Nothing has tasted better after a hard day's work than a Mike's Hard Lemonade. It's because since day one, Mike's has been making lemonade the hard way. We use three kinds of lemons, all hand-picked from family farms, then blended to perfection in cold press to create the epic hard lemonade you know and love. Mike's Hard Lemonade. Hard days deserve a hard lemonade. Mike's is hard, so is prison. Don't drive drunk. Premium all beverage with flavors. All registered trademarks used under license by Mike's Hard Lemonade Company, Chicago, Illinois.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now, you're multitasking. But what if you could also be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. So multitask right now. Get your quote now at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
No one wanted us. No one liked this team.
He looks like the guy who ultimately let Dorothy and her companions into the Emerald City. When I first saw it, that's what I thought it was.
Okay,
remember the guy when like he opens the door and he talks to him and they go away and come back or whatever. That's quite a mustache. I didn't know I could grow.
I think you actually look more like that guy that popped out of the door than he did, actually.
He didn't have the hat. But that's what that evokes, that whole
you're right.
Emerald City.
There's a good call, good pull by you. You're right. It definitely was. I couldn't figure it out. I think you kind of hit it. I did go to school down the South, right? So Mardi Gras being more of a part of that culture, it did look like that type of, just kind of decorations that you see or craziness that you see. Not that I don't know if I actually ever saw that, but you know how that goes. And those were some fun times, Mardi Gras in college, bringing me back to those days.
Yeah, but the thing is, Mardi Gras is the night and day before the commencement of Lent, when people refrain.
Well, I don't pay attention
days,
to all that stuff.
Nights.
Right. I just enjoy Mardi Gras.
Right. I can't imagine you going 40 days and 40 nights without some of the stuff that keeps you, grounded.
Right.
Keeps you going.
Exactly. No,
a little reward
tough.
For getting through a trip to Indianapolis or just getting through a normal day, whatever day it may be. If it's a day ending in Y, it's time for a little S-M-O-K-Y and D-R-I-N-K-Y for Chrissy. So we learned a lot about the Mummers Parade yesterday.
Yeah, we
did. Missed the program. Shame on you. How dare you miss the program? But you can go back and watch it, PFT Live. It's on Peacock. It's live on Sirius XM 85. You get the podcast if you want, the whole show that way. So anyway, we're back. We're here. It's Wednesday. We're getting closer to free agency, just 5 days away from the start of free agency. Even though it doesn't officially start until next Wednesday, it starts on Monday when they wave the Is it the green flag? It's the green flag.
Yes.
To go.
Right.
Green means go.
Green means go.
Learned that a long time ago, I think. Green means go on Monday at noon Eastern for the start of free agency. And it's going to be crazy next week because we'll hear all the information about who has agreed to terms, where, what the value of the contracts are. And don't believe any of the stuff you hear because
it's a little misleading.
As we learned, let's do a little old business because we'll get to everything we need to get to today.
Sure.
It's a compact outline that doesn't really require a lot of boxes to be checked. When we were talking about the Mike Evans contract yesterday, my perspective on it was it shows the value of tampering because he didn't find anything better at the scouting combine when tampering happens all the time. your take was, well, 2 years, $52 million, it's $26 million a year.
Right.
Maybe it scared the Bucs straight once they heard what Mike Evans was being offered.
And right.
See, I come at it from the very different lens of $52 million in real.
Yeah, yeah.
I knew when I saw right. $52 million, 2 years, $52 million, that's not real. And we'll find out what the real number is. And I was already working on getting the real numbers because I know people who are connected to the broader apparatus who are committed to the truth being put out there.
Yeah, sure.
And it really is an amazing reality.
Yeah.
In the world we operate in, and specifically that niche of the national insiders who want to win the thumb race to Twitter X. And this is the time of year where we will see, depending upon who you follow on your feed, you'll see three or four different people with the same thing. And there are some who I know from my own experience when I used to be on the text chain before I started asking questions that the agents didn't want to answer, they'll just copy and paste the text.
Yeah.
You win the thumb race to right. X if you copy and paste the text. And there have been some copy and paste fails from those text messages that are hilarious if you also got the same text message. So what happens is the agent puts out the numbers and the people who get the numbers post them without asking any questions, without pointing out that there's a good chance this person who gave me these numbers has a vested interest in embellishing, exaggerating, fabricating facts because it makes that person look good. I always get the why. Why would somebody do that? You know why? Because they use the big contract they negotiate for this guy. Hey, I got $26 million a year for a guy that's got 10 years in the NFL. $26 million a year, almost top of the market for a guy that's been in the NFL.
Goes on their resume.
Yeah. Yeah. So, hey, you should hire me to represent you.
Exactly.
That's all
right.
It is.
Exactly.
That's all it is.
Yes.
And what's the saying? Lies halfway around the world before the truth gets its pants on.
Yeah, right.
And that's what happens.
Right.
Because you can't get the real numbers until they go through a process. A lot of times what happens is, Chris, the information gets put out there before the contract's even signed. So the contract has to be signed. And then the information gets submitted. And the information makes its way to me through the channels I've created over the years. Because, again, there are people who are committed to the truth being out there. And then I was surprised it only took a day to get the Evans numbers. It's like, and my source said yesterday, "Oh, you're gonna be amazed at these Evans."
Yeah,
numbers.
It sounds like it. Well, they, right, and they were nowhere yeah. near what. So it's not nowhere no. near the reported numbers.
No, $52 million became $41 million.
Right
now,
right.
The 52 is the sum of 41 plus 11 in available incentives and escalators, but that's not the base deal.
Yeah.
The base deal is 41.
Right.
Now, one of these days, hopefully sooner rather than later, I'll get the triggers to see how realistic the 11 is, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you earn the 11 by, you know, catching one football for the entire season. Your base value is 41, not 52. And the guarantee, 35, it's 29. 29 is still not bad for a guy who's got 10 years in the NFL, but it's not 35.
No, it's not.
What the Bucs can do is they can keep him for 1 year, and next year they'd be on the hook for $6 million guaranteed, subject to offset. They can move on from him if they want. It's $29 million. That's what's guaranteed at signing. That's what he's definitely going to make over the next 2 years. Not even 41. That's not guaranteed. So it's just an example. And it's funny because some people don't care. And that's fine if you don't care. But even if you don't care, it's got to bug you a little bit that people who are supposed to be credible and accurate will traffic in something that they know. And I've had conversations with one or more of them about this. Like, how does it feel to get lied to like that and to pass that lie along to your audience? And they just don't think about it. They just don't think the same thing that allows somebody to take a paycheck from the entity that they cover allows them to say, hey, if I'm going to compete in this space, I got to be willing to do it because the others are willing to do it.
Right.
And as long as one is willing to do it, they're all going to be willing to do it, except an idiot like me that basically tapped out of the process once I realized I'm not going to just push bullcrap along to my audience. I'm just not going to do it.
Yeah.
People don't care who reports it. They don't care.
No.
You know, there's
I don't even know who reported
them,
the original thing, right?
Right.
I don't remember.
I do.
Okay.
But it's always the same people. I'm not going to name names.
Yeah.
But it's always the same people. And anybody watching the show knows who I'm talking about. And none of them are they're going to get irritated that I'm talking about it, but they're not going to change because they need to placate their bosses, and their bosses don't care.
Well, yeah, that's part of the world and the life we're in now.
Even if it's wrong.
Right. You know, some of it should go on to the agents, too. I mean, some of it.
Yes.
I mean, you know, we don't get just a green light to lie because you're an agent. Like, oh, I can lie and I can put out.
Right.
You know, I don't love that aspect. You're right. The reporters should double check these things, too. And
but
if
we know it's a lie,
yeah.
If we know from
right.
history it's a lie,
right.
we shouldn't pass it along.
Yeah, I hear you there. It's the world we've all been sucked into about clicks and social media likes and everything there. And be first and, hey, we'll worry about being right later, like a saying you say all the time. And, yeah, it's filtered to everywhere in life. It has. Listen, Mike, I'm one, and I think you're on this boat, too. I'm one that, you know, I wish they'd put, you know, with the contract in the NFL, 5 years, $100 million, but then actually kind of almost have something about what it actually is, right? Because we know when somebody signs a 5-year, $100 million contract, rarely does anybody see the full extent of that contract. That doesn't happen in the NFL. It's usually after the third year, at the very best, for the good players, there's, oh, wait, let's do something different. Let's get an extension. Let's wiggle it around. So I used to hate that, too, even as a player, Mike, when it would go like, oh, he signed a 5-year, $140 million contract, right? But it's, you know, really basically a 3-year deal for $60 million, and that's what it is, right? And then you're going to have the greatest 4 years in the history of football to even see year 4 and 5, which won't happen. You know, there's a misconception that I think hurts players out there or hurts them in public perception because of that too, because that main number gets thrown against them, right? Where it's, well, look, he got a $140 million contract. And it's like, no, he's never made $140 million in his life. He's made $45 million, and you're calling him a brat or spoiled or whatever else and all that. And I just think sometimes it paints the player in a bad light.
That's a great point. And what's critical to these deals and understanding what they're worth is the amount of money that the moment you put your name at the bottom of the contract, you are guaranteed, no matter what,
yeah.
to get.
Right.
And there's the guarantee that is actual, and then there'll be the practical guarantee, because sometimes what will happen is you've got another chunk that isn't fully guaranteed, but the only way they're going to avoid it becoming fully guaranteed is to cut you after 1 year and paying yeah. you some ridiculous
right.
amount of money.
$60 million of dead money. Right.
Before then.
Right.
Yeah. Or just, oh, they're going to owe you that anyway. They will have paid you $60 million for 1 year. To let you walk away.
Right.
Not many star players are going to have that happen to them. Now, we just had one we talked about yesterday.
Yeah, well, it was rare.
Wilson,
right.
$24 million for 2 years.
Yeah.
All because they didn't want to vest another $37 million to make it $161 million that the Broncos would have paid a guy that they decided after 2 years they don't want. And it's funny, Chris, that you mentioned the 5 years, $100 million. Because for me, I began to get the selective cold shoulder some 13 years ago.
Oh, I'm
when
interested.
Somebody got a 5-year, $100 million contract. There was a player, I'm not
right.
going to name names, but he played for the Eagles and he wore number 7, who resurrected his career after being in prison for dogfighting, but I'm not going to name names. He got a 5-year,
yeah.
$100 million contract. And when I got the real numbers,
it was nothing near that.
When you look at the language, well, it's not that. It never would have been 5 years, 100.
Right.
The fifth year that got it to 100 was completely and totally fake. It was going to evaporate before he ever got to year 5. But there was a desire by someone, maybe the player who once had a $100 million contract, to get $100 million contract, even though it was never going to be under any set of circumstances. Even if he had won the NFL MVP every year of the deal, it was never going to be a 5-year, $100 million deal. And I learned through the grapevine that I was omitted from that leak because people involved knew that I would call bullshit, sorry, Glasgow, on that report. So let's just not tell him. Because we know what he's going to do. Let's tell it to others who won't or don't or aren't inclined to even ask the question. That's when it started for me.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of continued ever since. And you know what? The players should care about it. But I talked to Devin McCourty about this.
Right. Bragging rights getting their way. Yeah.
Oh, like I say, hey Devin, do players care about the fact that some states have income tax and some don't? State income tax, you're always going to pay Uncle Sam. He's going to find you no matter where you are.
Right.
But some states it's zero, and California it's 13.3% of everything you make when you're in the highest bracket. He said they don't care. They care about APY, average per year. That's how they you know, I'm the man. I got the highest APY.
There's something
even
to
if it's
that.
Fake,
you're exactly
even if it's
right.
Phony, even
right.
if it's fraudulent, yeah. I'm the man. Even if I'm never going to make that money, I'm the man. And you're right, Chris. Maybe they should say,
wait a minute. Don't do that.
Yeah, this pumps me up in a way that is going to boomerang back around and potentially hurt me.
Yeah. Yeah, I think there's some of that, but it is. It's the machoism and the alphaness of wanting to be able to walk in a locker room and puff your chest out and be like, hey, I'm the man in here. I'm the highest paid guy, right? But at the same time, yeah, that does get used against you. I wish there was a little bit more reality in these reporting of the contracts. I think that's the biggest point. You know, what like you said, what is it? What is the practicality or the actual reality of the contract? And then here's the, oh, if everything goes absolutely perfect, here's what he could make possibly, right? And that's where, again, I still think there's a huge group in the public. Like, I talk to people still all the time that have not really, it is not registered in their brains that the NFL is not the same as basketball and baseball. It's amazing how many like men I'll talk to at the gym or whatever, and they don't realize that contracts are not guaranteed in the NFL. There is a total, you know, misperception there about that whole thing too. But yeah, I do think sometimes it gets used against players in a bad way, and that's where I'd like it to be fixed.
Well, the first 32 players picked in the draft get fully guaranteed contracts for 4 years. It's evolved that way.
Yeah.
But beyond
right.
that, they don't.
Right.
And it comes up from time to time, but the reality is, if there were fully guaranteed contracts, they'd all be 1 or 2 or 3 years max.
Yeah.
The teams wouldn't make a 5 or 6 year commitment. Maybe that's the way it should be. Because one of the reasons we break down what the real value of the contract is, you want to figure out when the team can just rip up whatever is left. Because these aren't real contracts in the sense that there aren't equal protections. Most contracts will have a for-cause termination and a without-cause termination. And if you have only one side having the ability to terminate without cause at any time with like 30 days notice or whatever, it's not a fair contract. Both sides need to be able to say we can walk away without notice, because it gives one side, or with notice but for no reason, it gives one side an imbalance. And the way these NFL contracts work, there's an imbalance there. By them not being fully guaranteed, what that means is the team can rip it up at any time and the player can't. So if the player outperforms the contract and the team is getting unfair value because nobody expected him to all of a sudden become a perennial All-Pro, kind of like the transformation we saw from Jason Kelce 7 years into his career, all of a sudden he's an All-Pro every year. There's nothing the player can do other than hold out. And, oh, you, how dare you hold out? You signed a contract. But it's not a true two-way street.
Yeah.
That's what we try to get fans to understand.
Right.
The team can say at any time, we are done with you, go. And the player can't say, I'm done with you, I'm leaving. That's the heart of the desire for guaranteed contracts. It levels the playing field. It gives both sides the equal protection. Nobody's getting out of this thing early. The player can't. And the team can't.
Yeah, no, exactly right. And you know, that's why guarantees are good, and that's why we always talk about them. Guaranteed money, signing bonus, that's really what counts. That's in the pocket of the football player. Like that, like we said, everything else, just about everybody in football is on a 2 or 3 year contract. I don't care who you are. There's like 5 people that have really like security beyond those years. It's Mahomes, it's Josh Allen's, it's the Joe Burrows, it's that kind of guy, right? Everybody else is pretty much fighting for their life. All right, TJ Watt, he's probably nice and cozy for at least the next 5 years, no matter what, right? He's already put that in the bank. But yeah, I think we all could do better in that department. And I think the agents, for one, I think it starts with them. You know, they're the ones that got to correct this more than anything. Stop putting out false numbers. Stop putting out false contracts that put more pressure on your player than it should be. And then the public looks at them. You look at the Deshaun Watson, right, in Cleveland. You want to talk about one of the issues of pressure and demand and what's going on there? Well, when you sign a landmark contract that the agent can't wait to flout in everybody's face and show everybody, yeah, it puts more pressure on the situation. And that's been brought up by people in Cleveland. The contract puts more pressure on Deshaun Watson. I know that. I've had talks with people in Cleveland that say that, right? Because that's always the thing. Oh, that contract, are they getting their money's worth? That contract is guaranteed. It's guaranteed. And that's where, you know, the burden falls on the player. And of course, I'm pro player in those conversations.
Hey, look, it's one of the reasons why the Deshaun Watson trade may end up being worse than the Russell Wilson trade. We just don't know.
Yeah.
If Deshaun Watson doesn't turn it around this year, it is worse because the Browns didn't have an escape hatch. The Broncos did. The Broncos were able to do the thing that Sean Payton advocates. If you make a mistake, admit it and move on. Don't double down.
Right, right.
Browns got no choice. They have to double down.
Right.
They're paying this guy $46 million a year this year, next year, and the year after that from the contract that was signed 2 years ago. They're stuck. And so you're right. It's more pressure on Deshaun Watson. Now, he's got financial security.
Yep.
But we view him more...
Yeah.
Skeptically,
exactly.
As a player,
right.
Because he's got to live up to that contract,
right,
in the eyes of the fans.
That's exactly the point.
Say, you know, look at all this money they gave him.
Exactly, right.
Yeah.
Right. And that he feels that burden. And that's what this person was telling me, that they feel like the Deshaun feels the burden to live up to that to a degree. And of course, it's always being talked about in sports radio there, all that. So, hey, interesting talk. It really is. And then, hey, we got some guys that we're going to talk about here right now that are in that boat too.
Right now.
You know, he's like, well, where, you know, I don't like this franchise tag stuff. You know, I like guys getting paid.
I don't either.
You know, there was some interesting ones, some good ones yesterday. I think some no-brainer type ones.
Thank you after 20 minutes for taking me where we were supposed to go right out of the gates. And here we go. 9 tags applied yesterday, officially, when the window closed at 4 p.m. Eastern. 8 franchise, 1 transition. Transition tag used for the first time since 2020 when it was used on Kenyon Drake. The difference is you get no compensation if Kyle Duggar leaves the Patriots. It gives the Patriots a chance to match, and that's it. If Duggar leaves for another team, if the Patriots don't match, they get nothing in return. The other 8 guys are all non-exclusive, meaning if someone wants to sign them and their current team doesn't match, they get 2 first-round picks. Well, none of these guys, if Lamar Jackson didn't get an offer sheet last year,
none
of these guys are getting an offer sheet. No one's given up 2 first-round picks. All due respect to these guys, no one's given up 2 first-round picks, in part because I still think there's some collusion that goes on here where it's like gentleman's agreement.
Yeah, like he's our guy.
We're not going to go after your guy. And, hey, you don't come after our guy. That's been around for a while now. When you have restricted free agents, there aren't a lot of guys that get offer sheets.
Tenders.
Even though maybe there are some that should. Yeah, it's we'll leave your guy alone, and you'll leave our guy alone.
Right.
And that's called collusion, folks. Yeah. But if they never say it out loud, it can't be proven. So that's the threshold issue here. You've got guys who were on the brink. We talked about this a little bit yesterday. Of potential generational wealth.
Right.
Of getting that huge contract next week from some team that may do something stupid like the Browns did 2 years ago. Sorry, Browns, but you kind of know. You know. They know. They know. We know. We all know. You shouldn't have done it. You get teams in a position to do it. Why? Well, first of all, we got money that we have to spend. And second of all, if you can't win the Super Bowl, you may as well win the press conference in March when fans are deciding whether or not to renew their season tickets. What jerseys do we want to buy? How about the jersey of the new team or the new player on the local team that they had the big press conference for, that they spent all that money for? These 9 guys have had that door slammed in their face just as it was about to open. So, I wish I was so mistreated that my employer was going to pay me $21 million this year like Michael Pittman with Indianapolis. But the point is, he should have gotten more than $21 million. He should have been in position to go to the market and get one of these deals that has 2 or 3 years of guaranteed money, that unlocks the kind of wealth that only a select few get. These guys have all been robbed of that opportunity by a system that that keeps the best player on every team who's due to become a free agent in any given year from getting to the market.
Yeah, I wish they could find a different remedy, right? Something else. You're a franchise tag, but you still get a long-term deal, and only a certain amount of the money counts against the cap because we made you a special franchise-type player. You know, it is weird to me that we treat some of the best players in our sport like, you know, hey, you're just a piece of meat on the shelf over there. That's what you are. Even though you're great and a lot of people are tuning in to watch you, you're the man, right? Well, we don't want to give you any security yet. How dare you want security? It's the only business in the world. It's the only one. And it's nothing. I mean, again, you know, the greatest surgeons in the world, they don't, I'm the best surgeon in the world. And the hospital doesn't go, well, we'll give you a one-year deal. But man, if you mess up one of those surgeries or you get hurt or something, man, the money won't be the same. It won't be. It just won't be the same. It'll never be the same. I mean, come on. It's crazy when you say it out loud, really. It's crazy. It really is. I understand it to a degree business-wise, why the owners want it. But at the same time, I go, why do the owners want to treat their players and their best entities that way? Right. But I think when you get into this and look at this list right here, right, I kind of use that phrase, no brainers. Right. Like this was a year where, you know, we have a year where it's like, oh, do you think they'll franchise that guy? I'm not sure. Like, ooh, all right. There's usually two or three where you go, OK, definitely franchise tag. And then wait, what will this team do? This year, these were kind of like the writing is on the wall, right? That's where I kind of find it, you know, a little bit fascinating. Like Justin Madubuike, right? You throw that, well, duh. I mean, he's looking like he's the best interior pass rusher in football. Here we go. Brian Burns, come on. It's a unicorn list is what I really want to say. These are unicorns this year. These are special players where teams were like, man, yeah, we got to keep him 1 year. This is too much talent just to let it hit the free market, or we don't get anything back, or we don't buy ourselves a little time to negotiate here a little longer because this guy's too talented of a football player. I mean, these are no-brainers across the board, and specifically to those teams, too, where you look at it and go, no, no, no. Like, not only is the player good, but, like, this player is essential to their success. Like, they're not very deep at this position or that position, and they really need him. I think that kind of goes for everybody on the list except for maybe Legarius Sneed, because there's some depth on the Kansas City Chiefs as far as corner, but everybody else there, that team needs that player in a major, major way.
And we talked last week about some of the motivations that may be happening with Sneed unrelated to keeping him around. But again, that's why all these guys should be heading to the market next week. If they were, with the salary cap now moving by more than $30 million per team to $255.4, they would literally break the bank next week.
Yeah.
All of these guys.
Exactly right.
They would get massive contracts with real money, with
right.
guaranteed money for multiple years.
Way the more money than they're going to get right here.
Much more than they're going to get. And they're not going to get any money next year unless and until they continue to play the way they have leading up to this year. If you drop off, if you get injured, you got no protection beyond this year. That's it. So that's what's unfortunate about it. And you know what? Quick history lesson. I'm going to summarize this. You go back to 87 when your dad was playing.
Yeah.
The strike happened.
Right.
The strike fell apart. But then the union basically shut down because in the absence of a union, all of the rules that the NFL uses to hold the sport together from a player personnel standpoint are antitrust violations. They just are. So what they did was the union goes away and we're going to sue you for all of your various rules that amount to a violation of the antitrust laws. And it was within the confines of that lawsuit, the settlement of that lawsuit resulted in the CBA that has the franchise tag. And when I think back to those days, it was long before I was covering, but I was following very intensely.
Right.
The players had the owners on the run. The players were going to win that lawsuit, and it was going to be more than the $1 that the USFL got when it beat the NFL and proved the NFL engaged in antitrust violations in 1986. They had them on the run, and for them to give up this, I wonder if they truly appreciated what it would mean to give up that power to the league and the teams to take that one player every year and keep him from becoming a free agent. The whole thing was about creating free agency.
Yeah, right.
Oh, wait, the best player on every team every year is going to be prevented from free agency. What's the frickin' point of free agency then?
I hear you.
Right?
You're right. You're right. Well, you know, again, I think there's a reason owners are owners and billionaires and everything like that, and players are players and not the best, especially in the NFL, about sticking together on certain subjects or anything like that, right? I mean, yeah, it does seem like, yeah, they pulled a fast one or certainly dangled something out there that was like, oh, wait, that, oh, whoa, top five average, that's cool, oh, that's a good deal, oh, and in actuality, when it all comes to it and, you know, the dust settles a little bit, hey, it's not that great, and it's definitely not that great, again, which is crazy, for the stars of our sport. I think that's when you say it out loud, you hit it, and you go, wait, the guy you like on the franchise the most, the player that's maybe the best, we're going to, you know, give him a little candy here just to keep him quiet like he's a child in the corner, right? Because we don't want to divulge anything of real interest to that person. I mean, that's kind of what it is. And it is crazy when you kind of think about it and say it out loud.
Here's who it's good news for, though. It's good news for the second best free agent on the team.
That's right.
There's only one tag.
Right.
It's very good news. And we'll start with the Buccaneers.
Yeah, let's go there.
As expected, safety Antoine Winfield Jr. gets the franchise tag, which means Baker Mayfield doesn't, which means just like Kirk Cousins, just like Russell Wilson, who will be released. He's not a traditional free agent, but he'll be released. Just like all of the other quarterbacks, and there are a lot of them out there, which is one of the reasons why the Bears can't unload Justin Fields for draft picks.
Right.
There are a lot of quarterbacks out there. Unless Baker Mayfield already has a deal that everyone is keeping quiet about, he's got a straight shot next week, Monday, noon Eastern. Any team out there for the second straight year, any team that wants Baker Mayfield can go get him, because the Bucs tag the guy that we knew they were going to tag in Antoine Winfield Jr., all-pro safety, one of the best defensive players in the sport. I think he took the third spot on my Defensive Player of the Year ballot this year. He was phenomenal.
Baller.
And is phenomenal.
Yes, he is.
So they have to do what they have to do to keep him around.
That's right.
And let's start with him. I mean, again, it's one of the no-brainers for you. This guy's the heart and soul of the defense.
Right. I mean, he's no question. I mean, to your point, he's definitely one of the three, four best safeties in football. He was my first team all-pro pick, without a doubt, Mike. I'm there with you, right? I think this one goes into, and this is where, you know, this conversation is interesting and fun, and how teams kind of figure it all out and flush it all out in the context of all that. But I think this is where relationships really come into play, too. We kind of hit on this with Kansas City and Chris Jones and Legarius Sneed last week, right? You know, this is one where, hey, wait, Antoine Winfield hasn't been paid yet. He was a second-round pick, right? So they know he's going to be thirsty, hungry, whatever, you know, acronym you want to throw in there, right, with, like, getting money and getting paid and getting his worth, right? And he plays a physical brand of football, too. So he knows, like, the shelf life of his career, it ain't forever. And then I think they also, you play into, wait, you know, we know Baker. We've been talking to him. We've been talking to his agent, right? And I think also where, you know, the teams can use it against a player like Baker, and especially the quarterback situation a little bit, is like, man, do you really want to go somewhere else and have to reprove yourself and relearn an offense and, you know, try to get timing and rhythm with a new group of receivers again and all that, right? So, you know, I think there's probably some back channel conversations, like you said, maybe a frame of a contract that's already out there to where it's like, okay, hey, we're going down the right, you know, path here as far as that's concerned. And, you know, Baker knows, like, wait, I've proven myself here. These people like me. They want me, right? So there's value to that. And I think, you know, when you flush it all out, that's why they tag Antoine Winfield and they play the calculated risk of, we know Baker, we know his people, we know he likes being here, and this situation's pretty good for him too. We'll get it all fixed. And I think that's what we got working here in Tampa.
Yeah, and they have to have a certain level of confidence that there's enough mutual interest in keeping Baker Mayfield on the team that they're going to do it. And also, this is the benefit of tampering. Last week, opportunity to find out who, if anyone, is interested in pursuing Baker Mayfield. And
like, Mike, are you going to trade in? Are you going to trade in the Baker? Like, if you're a Baker, are you going to trade in the Bucks for New England? Right? I mean, yeah, maybe if they're going to pay you some like crazy amount of money, right? But you think of some of the situations that are out there. You go like, hey, Baker, you going to roll the dice and go to New England? You going to go to Atlanta? Right? I mean, those are unknowns. You just went to the playoffs here. You've kind of set something up here a little bit, right? So I would think that that's got to be a part of it.
Somebody asked me last week
what? In
one of the various conversations we had at the Scouting Combine, what do you pay Baker Mayfield?
Yeah.
What is the number?
Yeah.
What's the number if you're the Buccaneers? I like to think it lands between 30 and 40 million per year. That's a broad range, I know. Like between 30 and 35, I don't know. You know, his ship has finally come in financially.
Yeah.
He bet on himself two straight years. In 2022, he lost. In 23, he won, sort of. He only wins depending upon how he parlays that $4 million base package from last year with some incentives he earned, but not all of them. I think a couple million on top of it. How do you turn that into your next contract? And if you aren't getting big money offers from other teams, the Bucs hold all the cards. And this was a team that had Tom Brady at $25 million a year.
Yeah, right.
No. Not that long ago.
Yeah.
Now, the market wasn't 55, but still, it felt like a bargain for the Bucs then. I don't know how high they go here. I'd like to think it at least starts with a three.
I agree.
You know,
there.
It's the Phillip Rivers dynamic. The year he went to the Colts and he got 25 when Drew Brees was getting 25 and Tom Brady was getting 25, it's like, you know, you need to be able to send the message to the world that this is our starting quarterback. So it has to at least, I think, start with a three. The question is it 3-0? Is it 3-5? Is it 3-3? What are the first two numbers of this contract? And I think the reality is, unless some other team wakes up right now and contacts Baker Mayfield's agents and makes an offer that makes him say, yeah, I'll go there. This is what they're offering?
Yeah.
Hell yeah, I'll go there.
Right.
I mean, I've thrown him in the mix as a potential Kirk Cousins replacement in Minnesota.
Oh, I hear you. I think he fit that offense for sure. No doubt about it. I'm with you there. He fit Kevin O'Connell? Yeah, no doubt.
And what a kick in the ass he would be for that franchise. They saw it last year, week one, on that critical drive when the Bucs were up 20-17, trying to keep the ball and ice the game. He lowers his shoulder on third and two, and then he makes that throw to Chris Godwin, where Godwin's kind of falling down, diving out of bounds sideways on third and long to ice the game. The Vikings experienced it last year. So if you are, and we've said this, look, if the Vikings are watching Kirk Cousins take off and fly to Atlanta, they better have a plane ready to land in Minneapolis. And so you have to at least be exploring Baker Mayfield. If you get Baker for 35, when you're going to say no to Kirk at 45, dollar for dollar, I don't know.
Yeah,
when you look at what Kevin O'Connell can do with a quarterback, if he has access to him for the full year and he stays healthy throughout the season, he could turn Baker Mayfield into a pro. Well, not a Pro Bowler, a potential All-Pro.
Yeah, well, Baker's got talent. We know that, right? We both were two people last year going, he's a starting quarterback in football. He got screwed over as bad as you can get screwed over, you know, as far as, you know, a football situation goes with Cleveland and then the Panthers and then the Rams and all that. It's tough. It is. He's got an ability to lead men that is NFL starting quality, no doubt about it, right? He's got a grittiness and a toughness and a mental attitude that is NFL starting quarterback, no doubt about it. And then he has a right arm and ability to make throws and plays that is a really good NFL starting quarterback arm, right? I'm not going to say it's Josh Allen or Mahomes, but it's one of those where when you see Baker Mayfield throw the ball in person, you go, that's as good as, you know, anybody in the sport other than maybe, you know, three or four guys other than that. So he's got all those intangibles, tangibles, everything there, right? And that's where I think we get back to. They got to feel very comfortable about where they are in the Baker Mayfield conversation because of the things you just threw out there. I'm sure he's given them, you know, a little bit of a, you know, wink, wink. You know, I want to be back here. And I would think that some numbers or a groundwork of a contract has been thrown out, you know, into him a little bit so he has a feel here, you know, because, yeah, you don't want that to happen. So, I think they know what they got, and I think you're there in the money aspect too. I would expect it 35 to 40, you know, maybe 3 years, 4 years, something again where he hasn't proven himself consistently like a Kirk Cousins yet, right? As far as year after year after year, but I do think he has that ability. He just needs to be in some of the situations Cousins has been in, and I would expect it to be something like that, you know, where they could get out after 2 years if they feel like things are going south or not going the right way.
For 25 years, Mike's has been making lemonade the hard way. Mike's Hard Lemonade. Hard days deserve a hard lemonade. Mike's is hard. So is prison. Don't drive drunk. Premium all beverage with flavors. All registered trademarks used under license by Mike's Hard Lemonade Company, Chicago, Illinois.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow, and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour, and they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit truegreen.com, TRUGREEN.com, to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
17.1 million is what Antoine Winfield Jr. is going to make, which again takes me back to the whole idea that there's something wrong with this system that's never going to change. The NFL is never going to give up the ability to freeze a player in place like Antoine Winfield Jr. for 17.1 million. I mean, this is his chance to get his reward for everything he's done. The NFL doesn't think of it that way. We have this tool, we're going to use it to keep this guy from going to the market and getting what he's earned here elsewhere. I mean, they won the Super Bowl in 2020, ultimately, and I know it's a total team effort, but if Winfield doesn't make that play on Jared Cook when the Saints are beating them by 10.
That's right. They're not going to go to the NFC Championship.
And they're driving for more.
Right.
They're driving for more.
Right.
Antoine Winfield, as a rookie, rips that ball out from Jared Cook. And again, you can't say he's the only reason they won the Super Bowl, but that is a very clear, bright line. But for that play, Tom Brady doesn't have number 7. But for that play, the Bucs don't get the chance to go to Green Bay. It would have been the Saints
right
at Green Bay. It would have been Aaron Rodgers in that Super Bowl against Patrick Mahomes, not Tom Brady. Antoine Winfield makes that play. And that's the thing. As an employee, you want to feel valued. You want to feel appreciated. You want to feel like they recognize the contributions you've made. Getting franchise tagged is not the message.
Yeah, this is the one that hurts.
Antoine Winfield
right
deserves to get.
This is the one that hurts, right? I mean, we talk about all the time, like, oh, why does this level of player, right, maybe a B-level player, his time to get a contract, why should he up the guy that's we know is the best at that position or the A-plus player? This is not that case. This is a guy here where, like, no, if he signed a new contract, he should probably be – he's worthy of being the highest paid safety in football, right? So what's it, Derwin James right now at 19 and change is leading the way. Minka Fitzpatrick at 18 and change is second, right? Winfield is the type of player in a part of his career where if it weren't for the franchise tag, he would have signed a long-term deal. He would have got probably something in the 40s, as far as 40s, maybe even $50 million guaranteed, and his average year per salary would not be what the Bucks are getting it for right now at 17-1. It would be in the 20 range, maybe. 19-8, I don't know, somewhere around there, but it would probably up Derwin James. So, you know, it's certainly hurting his checkbook at the end of the day, no matter how you kind of look at the situation.
He also might be a player who transcends positional lines. He might be a guy who can say, you should pay me like a top defensive player. Kind of the argument Micah Parsons will make, although
yeah,
he plays a position that has a higher annual average than safety. But this gets back to the point you make that it's kind of out of whack that the quarterback, we're talking about Baker Mayfield getting $35 million a year, and now Winfield's at 17-1.
Yeah,
and
he's
twice as good. 19 or 20.
Right.
Yeah, he's not twice as valuable to the team. It's why Julio Jones first had a real issue with the Falcons when he's making 15 and Matt Ryan's making 30, and he's like, something's wrong with this picture.
Yeah.
This guy's not twice as valuable.
He's like, wait, he throws it to me for 5 yards, and I run for 70, and he gets $2 million for that, and I only get one? I don't get that.
The Kansas City Chiefs applied the franchise tag as expected to cornerback Legarius Sneed. It means Chris Jones will hit the open market, although there are indications that progress has been made on a deal that would keep Chris Jones with the Chiefs. He seems to want to stay with the Chiefs, even if he could get more elsewhere. I still think one of these other teams that competes with the Chiefs should break the bank to get him away from Kansas City. I'm kind of amazed no one has. Maybe they still will. I mean, obviously, it's not time yet officially to start, but we're in that tampering window where teams can lay the foundation
they
to try
started.
To do it, especially last week in Indy. So let's talk about Sneed. They've been sending out these messages all along through the reports we've seen, tag and trade. Like, they really aren't serious about keeping him long term. They're interested in maybe, instead of letting him walk away as a free agent and getting a compensatory draft pick in 2025, let's get what we can in 2024 from a team that will take him out from under the franchise tag. And if you remember 2009, that's how they got Matt Castle. He'd been franchise tagged by the New England Patriots, and there was a trade that sent both Castle and Mike Vrabel to the Chiefs for, I think, a second-round pick at the time. So that's what the Chiefs are trying to do potentially here now. Somebody who wants Sneed, who didn't have a chance to give him a contract on the open market, may have a chance to give him a contract through a tag and trade. It just feels like this was a, we need to get something for this guy, not we need to keep this guy.
Yeah, I hear you there. You know, I mean, I'm sure they'd like to keep him. It's hard, right? This is where it's hard for these Super Bowl football teams. And, you know, I lean on something like Howie Roseman said to us last week a little bit from the Philadelphia Eagles, right? You know, I asked, like, what's, you know, kind of what's part of the secret sauce? He didn't want to say that or say the, give the answer, but his main thing was staying ahead of the game, you know, in the chess match, you know, being revolutionary, being cutting edge, thinking ahead, thinking forward. I feel like that's what Kansas City's doing here a little bit. They're like, we can't pay everybody. We'd like to. We like Legarius Sneed, right? But it's a business. We got a debt. We got an amount of money we can spend, right? We got some good corners. So, you know, the cupboard's not bare here, right? What makes sense? Whoa, this guy's a really good player, but I don't think we can pay him because we got to worry about some other people in the future, and we're paying Mahomes and all of that as well, right? So let's see if we can't, you know, get some assets back that are very valuable, because they are a team when you're having to pay Patrick Mahomes $55+ million a year. The draft is going to be more important to them than the team with, you know, a quarterback on a rookie contract or more of a manageable contract. So that's where they got to kind of pick their poison. And I think, again, just like we talked with Baker Mayfield and the Bucks, I think the relationship comes into play here too with Chris Jones and them. Hey, we drafted you. You've been a part of this culture. You're a pillar of the dynasty, right? You want to be here. We want you here. Let's just work this out. And that's kind of what it feels like in Kansas City.
And they probably took some solace in the stuff he said a couple of weeks
exactly
ago.
Exactly right.
The parade right. rally. I'm going to be here this year, next year, and the year after. So he doesn't want to leave.
No.
He got a chance to see what his life would be like when he's not in uniform on the field with the team by holding out of week one and attending the game and sitting in
his
suite.
Sitting in the box.
Watching
remember?
The game.
Right.
and he quickly folded his tents on his holdout.
Yeah, he said, the hell
and
with this
look
crap.
At the deal that he did. It's like, really,
I know
that, all that for
right,
this.
Right.
So
right.
He wants to be there, and they want him there. So he will bar. And again, if I'm Jim Harbaugh, I'm doing everything I can. I'm using all my phrases. I'm recruiting him like I'd recruit a 5-star high school kid out of Florida to come to Michigan. I'm putting on the hard sell the moment I can.
Yeah.
I want Chris Jones, and I'll overpay Chris Jones because I want to get him away from the Kansas City Chiefs, because we're never – that whole – all that stuff he says, don't let the powder blues fool you, right?
Yeah.
That isn't going to do anything unless you get some great players. You get somebody like Chris Jones on that defense, all of a sudden you got to take the Chargers a lot more seriously.
No, I agree with you there. I hear your point totally. And, you know, I'd be trying to flirt or figure out what it might cost to get him to switch colors too. I'm there with you, but it's tough. It's tough. Being around that organization, being around what Andy Reid has created a little bit, being at practice last year, even the lead up into the Eagles Super Bowl, right? The playoff week when I was there, right, to do the Andy Reid interview, and I got to see a day of practice and hang around the facility. Man, there's, you know, guys like Chris Jones, the leaders, that there's great pride in the fact that we're the Kansas City Chiefs and we got something special here. And again, it goes into what you talk about a lot. Andy's empowered them. He makes them feel like they're a part of it. You know, you're a part of the leading of this football team. This is your team. Yeah, I'm the commander, the general here. But, you know, you do have a say. It's not a total dictatorship that way. And that's where guys like Chris Jones will go, well, okay, I'll sign this contract for a few million dollars less than market value. Because he's bought into what they got working there, and that's what makes them special.
It's about rings. It's about legacy.
Yeah.
He'll never have to buy another beer or steak or anything in Kansas City. He will be a legend there, the defensive equivalent of the Patrick Mahomes.
That's right.
At least for this era of the Chiefs. The Chiefs will continue to thrive, presumably well beyond Chris Jones' career, but he's got a few great years left,
definitely,
potentially, and he could win a couple more Super Bowls with the Chiefs if he stays put. The Ravens will have Justin Madubuike staying put. This was the no-brainer of no-brainers from your
Seriously.
Perspective. You recognize how good he is.
Right.
It was him or Patrick Queen, but between the two, and now Queen will hit the open market, but Madubuike will stick around in Baltimore on $22.1 million. He had 13 sacks as an interior defensive lineman. And that's not easy to do. The guy is a master, I presume, in effing up the play,
exactly,
as you call it.
Right.
Otherwise, they wouldn't be making this.
They wouldn't be effing up their
around,
checkbook,
maybe.
Right? Exactly.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
He's built. When you look at him there, you know who he looks like. He's compact.
Uh huh.
And he bursts through, and
yes,
he looks like he was number 99 for the Rams.
No doubt about it. It's that type of player. I mean, you kind of, you know, he is. He's an F the play up guy. He's kamikaze, right? He's the Tasmanian devil in there. He's not your, like, just big, overpowering guy. He's got power. He really does. That's why he's special. You know, to be that size, he can hold his ground pretty good against double teams and do things like that. You go where that's phenomenal strength. For a guy that's, I think, goes about 305, maybe 300, which is small for that position, but it's the quick and athleticism, and you're right, the muscle structure, it's explosive, it's real, right? He is definitely in the conversation for best player on that defense, and they couldn't let him go, right? Their defensive line's got a lot of good. I don't know if it's got anybody that's great, right? They got some size, they got some power. We know they're tough under John Harbaugh, but difference makers on that defensive line, he stands alone in that conversation, right? But now, yeah, like you said, they're taking a risk. Patrick Queen played really good football last year. He's damn good. And I kind of sat here with the Ravens and went, whoever doesn't get franchised will be up in Seattle with Mike McDonald next year, their ex-defensive coordinator, right? So now that's what I expect off of this. Madubuike, right, franchise, boom. They're giving Roquan Smith a ton of money already at middle linebacker. I got a hard time. They're thinking they're going to be able to pay Patrick Queen. I got to think Mike McDonald of the Seattle Seahawks is going, wait, I can get my Ravens culture going here. Let me get a guy in the room that's like that. I would think he's going to be at the top of the list because they have a need at middle linebacker as well.
And last year, the Ravens had the highest profile franchise tag player with Lamar Jackson. It became a long-term deal in April before the draft. We'll see if they can take this tag and turn it into a multi-year contract. Remember, for all of these players, the deadline is July 15 for doing a long-term deal, whether they accept the one-year tender or not. As of July 15, the window closes until after the regular season ends on doing a long-term deal. Once upon a time, there was a moratorium from like late March, early April until July 15 to even talk to the franchise tag player, which made no sense. They turned that around and made July 15 the deadline for getting a long-term deal done, which I think is kind of a stupid, arbitrary deadline. Like, why? This is one of those where you step back and say, why?
Yeah, right.
Why should they? These teams not be allowed to do a multi-year contract with this guy? It doesn't help the player.
No.
It gives you a deadline in July, but you still want to have the opportunity to get your long-term contract when you're out there having a great season. They finally wake up and say, well, now we know why the guy wanted $35 million a year.
Right.
All right, we'll pay it to you. Oh, sorry, we can't do it until after the regular season. Oh, sorry, you tore your ACL week 18.
That's what's messed up. I don't like that, right? It's just all about buying the team more time. Whether it's to figure out, wait, were we comfortable with our evaluation to pay him that money, right? Or let's just see one more year and just see if he is what we think he is. And that's where, yeah, it feels wrong on a human level as far as that's concerned.
Something else that felt wrong on a human level during the segment that I missed because I was looking something
What's
up.
What's that?
Sources
what?
Close to me tell me that at one point you uttered the words in this order, thirsty, hungry, whatever acronym. Did you say that?
I think I did, yes. I did. I did say that, yes. I was waiting for you to confirm.
We have a second source on that.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you, Kristen. Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Miss Lippy. Okay? Thank you.
All right. Well, on that note, you'll probably hear it again. If you missed it like I did,
Kristen has to bleep out
the
swear words.
Show.
So you're an asshole, Kristen. How about that one?
That will be fine. Let's take a break. When we return, more reaction to the tags that were applied and not applied when PFT Live continues right after this.
For 25 years, nothing has tasted better after a hard day's work than a Mike's Hard Lemonade. It's because since day one, Mike's has been making lemonade the hard way. We use three kinds of lemons, all hand-picked from family farms, then blended to perfection in cold press to create the epic hard lemonade you know and love. Mike's Hard Lemonade. Hard days deserve a hard lemonade. Mike's is hard. So is prison. Don't drive drunk. Premium all beverage with flavors. All registered trademarks used under license by Mike's Hard Lemonade Company, Chicago, Illinois.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.